My job will be to set you free and to let you do what Americans do best and what you're going to do better than anybody. Win, win, win. You're going to win, win, win.
Welcome into This Week in Bitcoin, episode 20, a special report as Bitcoin 2024 Nashville just wraps up as Trump walks off stage. And yeah, we'll be getting into the substance of his Bitcoin policy that he announced, and I'm going to try to avoid all the campaign stuff, cut it down. But I've been monitoring the entire event, so you don't have to. And while it feels a bit awkward having politicians start telling us everything we've ever wanted to hear, I do think we should take some stock. It was less than a full epoch ago that Bitcoiners were just thrilled to get the attention of the president of El Salvador. Shout out to Bukele. But now, Bitcoiners are being courted from both the right and the left in the U.S. And my hope is that this sets a standard for international politicians, that internationally politicians start to recognize there's a cohort of voters that have some issues that are very important to them. And I think what Bitcoin 2024 will do is it'll set the stage for the rest of the politicians around the world to finally get it. So what happens here is going to spread. And so that's why I think we should take stock and talk about why this is such a historic conference. And, you know, RFK Jr. kind of said the quiet part out loud during his speech as to why Bitcoiners make such a good voting cohort.
Despite their different viewpoints, I found the most striking feature of Bitcoin community is this kind of paradoxical juxtaposition marked by fierce divisions on several minor issues and an overwhelming sense of unity within the larger Bitcoin ecosystem. The Bitcoin community reminds me of how American politics ought to be, fiercely diverse, but ultimately united in our aspirations and our belief in our country and in our convictions that America is worth the fight.
Let me break down what he's saying there. Is he saying that there is a contingent, perhaps 50 to 60 million people in the United States, that all kind of coalesce around a common set of concerns, beliefs, and priorities? That is an addressable cohort that these politicians can understand, wrap their heads around, and address the concerns of and attempt to seek their votes. This is how it's supposed to work. How genuine you believe any of them, well, that's really yet to be seen. But each politician that went up on stage wanted to say something pretty momentous. Let's stick with RFK for one more clip here. This is where RFK talks about the executive order that he would issue when he enters office, should he be elected. Oh, this is actually, I included the beginning of his talk. Yeah.
Hello, Bitcoiners. I am so glad to be back for my second Bitcoin conference. Since last year in Miami, I've been meeting with leaders and thinkers from this community. I've conferred with Bitcoin miners, with policymakers, with economists, with financial experts, with investors and developers and entrepreneurs to deepen my understanding of the extraordinary promise of Bitcoin for our country and for our planet.
One thing that was notable about RFK's introduction and Trump's introduction is Trump took him quite a while to actually get to Bitcoin specifically, where RFK kind of starts with Bitcoin.
After all I've learned, I intend, as President of the United States, to sign an executive order on day one directing the Department of Justice and the U.S. Marshals to transfer the approximately 200,000 Bitcoin held by the U.S. government to the United States Treasury, where it will be held as a strategic asset. On day one as president, I will sign another executive order directing the U.S. Treasury to purchase 550 Bitcoin daily until the U.S. has built a reserve of at least 4 million bitcoins.
DCA, baby.
And a position of dominance that no other country will be able to usurp. Our nation holds approximately 19% of global gold reserves. This policy will give us about the same proportion of total Bitcoin. The cascading impact from these actions will eventually move Bitcoin to a valuation of hundreds of trillions of dollars. On day one as president, I will sign also an executive order directing the IRS to issue public guidelines that all transactions between Bitcoin and the US dollar are unreportable transactions. And by extension, non-taxable.
Yeah, they got it. They got it. Later in the speech, RFK Jr. said that he holds now the majority of his wealth in Bitcoin after the winnings from a lawsuit against a pharmaceutical company. And I watched his entire speech, and I would say he seems to understand Bitcoin specifically better than most politicians that I've seen speak about it. But there have been others, so RFK is running as an independent. But Democrat Congressman Ro Khanna says that the U.S. needs to be leaders in Bitcoin, kind of echoing things we've also heard from Trump.
So you're not increasing fossil fuel emissions by using Bitcoin, and that's something that government can do. But the bottom line is that you want America to lead when it comes to Bitcoin and make sure that the appreciation of it is something that benefits the United States and that we're setting the financial standards.
Great. So over the course of the past 2 days and into this afternoon, we're going to hear about a lot of executive orders or proposals for executive orders. But I know that there's some bipartisan legislation that has popped up from time to time in Congress. How far are we away, in your mind, of getting something passed that is actually a bipartisan approach, a sensible regulation, and some sort of term defining that everybody can agree with and knows what the rules of the game are? How far away are we from that?
Well, I've supported two bipartisan pieces of legislation. One, a Republican bill by Patrick McHenry, FIT 21, that applies not just to Bitcoin, but to all cryptocurrencies, to say that we need regulatory clarity. Mm-hmm. We need to say what the SEC can do, what the CFTC can do, mm-hmm. and we need to make sure that the software developers aren't caught up in being penalized. Right. And that passed with 70-plus Democrats in the House.
It's a good sign. It's a good sign. So you have up and down the ticket. Tim Scott was there along with Senator Lummis. They had a really rowdy kind of like pre-talk. I might play some of that depending if we have time. But what I thought was interesting is these senators would go up on stage, like you just heard Ro Khanna there, or like I just mentioned, Tim Scott. They would give their pitch. They don't always really appreciate the difference between the wider crypto ecosystem and Bitcoin, although they clearly have been briefed slightly. They try to walk the line, but they just don't, I think, intuitively understand it in most cases. And so they go up there, they do their speech. And then what's interesting is they're then going back to their offices and they're releasing policy statements to kind of back up what they set up on stage. Or in the case of Tim Scott, they're going on national television and trying to promote their position on national TV.
I remember when he said it. I thought it was unfortunate. I think I was shaking my head and I wish he hadn't. But he has made a transition at this point to, I don't know if he's a full Bitcoin maximalist, but he is on board, and I guess we're going to hear that on Sunday.
So, Joe, you just said you were a prophet. That's good to know. Here's what I can tell you without any question. You were not alone. 20,000 more people showing up at a financial conference here in Nashville is a big deal. Bitcoin's future has to be in America. What we know about the Biden administration and the SEC is they've been anti-Bitcoin, anti-digital assets. Elections have consequences. If I have the good fortune of being the chairman of the next banking committee, what we're going to do is make sure that innovation happens in America. That means that the regulations cannot be oppressive and we cannot have an SEC nominee that actually wants to run it back to China.
Now, Tim Scott, as you may have been able to understand there, he is set, if the Republicans get the leadership position, to be the head of the banking committee in Congress, and he would be pro-Bitcoin. So he's kind of It's kind of a big deal in the sense that he would be sort of sitting on a very influential position around banking, and he has a pro-Bitcoin stance. And let's talk a little bit about sort of that stage. So that stage at the Bitcoin conference is really several stages, and they're all going all of the time. And we only get to get bits and pieces. But on some of the different stages, we have different types of guests, and some of them are talking more microfinances, some of them are talking open source software. And of course, you got the big headliner stage, right? And the big headliner stage had all kinds of anticipation. We knew Trump was coming. We had the RFK speech on the day before. So we knew like that this is where all the big heavy hitters were going to be. But the reason why all the expectations were set is because before, I'd say midweek, before the event even kicked off, people started leaking that we might hear a big announcement at the conference. And Senator Cynthia Lummis went on television to tease that there might be a big announcement.
No central bank digital currency. I'm so happy about that because that's a means of surveillance of the American people. But we want to make sure people can have individual wallets for their Bitcoin so they have that sovereign over their own money. We know we want the U.S. dollar to remain strong. And actually having Bitcoin in reserve can help the U.S. dollar remain strong.
What? Have Bitcoin in reserve? Yeah, that was midweek. So that really started to set the expectations. And then, of course, Cathie Wood, ARK investor, said if the rumors are true, it's going to be huge.
You know, this is not an instrument of monetary policy at all, but it simply goes on our balance sheet. Michael Saylor gave us some really good talking points there. This could be transformational. Transformational.
Transformational for Bitcoin holders. And, you know, I suppose it's probably true. So let's talk about this. Why are the Republicans falling all over themselves to court Bitcoiners? Why does Cathie Wood say there'd be a massive transformational change if Bitcoin is put in reserve? I think the unspoken part of it is everyone expects it would kick off sort of that great nation state game theory, that individuals would want to buy individuals and nation states would want to start buying Bitcoin before each other, and kind of kicks off this buying frenzy, which drives the value up. This stuff always kind of gets talked about. You know, these are big promises to make in an election season, and we'll see where these go. But before Trump got on stage, he was about 15 minutes late. And so here's all these expectations. Donald Trump, he's going to come up on stage. He's going to make this big promise. And he ends up being 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes late. And he comes on stage with a joke as to why he's late.
A little more time. I said, you take all the time you want.
He's talking about the Secret Service.
You can take 2 hours, 3 hours, the hell with the people that have been waiting out here. But I'm sure they don't mind either. But it is a great honor, and a lot of things are happening in the world. We just heard, you probably heard, that Israel was just attacked, very severely attacked.
So he doesn't start by talking about Bitcoin. He starts with what is a typical kind of Trump campaign talk about Israel and whatnot. So I skipped ahead, and I wanted to kind of focus on the policy stuff that he talks about. And one of the things he said that I thought was, it's an interesting insight for somebody his age, and I think probably appropriate, is that he thinks that Bitcoin may end up being the new steel industry in the U.S.
Many of you. But this is the kind of spirit that built America, and this is the spirit that's going to help us make America great again. That's what we're doing. I stand before you today filled with respect and admiration for what the Bitcoin community has achieved. It's incredible, actually. I sort of say to my sons, it's like, incredible, because they know so much about it. They're so aware of it, much more so than people that are a little bit older. But I say this is the steel industry of 100 years ago. It really is. I think you're just in your infancy. I can see it happening. In just 15 years, Bitcoin has gone from merely an idea posted anonymously on an internet message board to being the ninth most valuable asset anywhere in the world. Can you believe that? Is that right? That's a big deal.
Yeah, he then says, you better watch out, gold. I think it's coming for you. Which is a moment that people really liked. He talks a little bit as to why he's focusing on Bitcoin now.
The reason I've come to address the Bitcoin community today can be summed up in two very simple words. America first. Because if we don't do it, China's going to be doing it. They're going to be doing it. Let's do it and do it right.
Watching the entire speech, it really seems like Trump has come to a point where he recognizes there is nation-level competition here and an opportunity to kind of integrate a Bitcoin policy in both the economic side to help produce growth, in the energy side to help grow the energy sector, and then, of course, just in this kind of America trying to claim the future. You know, America's the one that makes the big leaps. And Trump says if Bitcoin's going to go to the moon, he wants the U.S. of A. to be the ones to take it there.
This afternoon, I'm laying out my plan to ensure that the United States will be the crypto capital of the planet and the Bitcoin superpower of the world, and we'll get it done. If crypto is going to define the future, I want to be mined, minted, and made in the USA. It's going to be. It's not going to be made anywhere else. And if Bitcoin is going to the moon, as we say, it's going to the moon, I want America to be the nation that leads the way. And that's what's going to happen. No, you're going to be very happy with me.
He does have some specifics. He says on day one, he'll end Choke Point 2.0.
I pledge to the Bitcoin community that the day I take the oath of office, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris's anti-crypto crusade will be over. It will end. It'll be done. It'll be done.
He does actually later specifically state Choke Point 2.0 and anti-Bitcoin and anti-crypto business policies. But the line that probably got the biggest praise out of all of them, even though there's some bigger announcements he makes, in my opinion, later on in the speech. But the speech, you know, it gets the applause it gets. And the line that got the most applause, firing Gary Gensler, the SEC chief.
Elizabeth Warren and her goons, and she's very nasty to you. She hates your people. She hates everything about you. Will keep their hands off Bitcoin. They're going to keep their hands off crypto. They're going to let it grow. We're going to let it grow on day one. I will fire Gary Gensler and appoint a new SEC chairman. I didn't know he was that unpopular. Well.
I think he was really surprised. In fact, he was so surprised. Trump loves attention, you know, and if he can get a round of applause, he'll go for it again. He'll just do it again.
Wow. I didn't know he was that unpopular. Let me say it again. On day one, I will fire Gary Gensler. Whoa.
I, as far as I recall, this is the only time we got the Trump chant. It was when he says he'd fire Gary.
I will appoint a new SEC chairman who believes America should build the future, not block the future, which is what they're doing.
Now, there was other moments. The more actual policy thing that I heard him mention is that he plans a pro-crypto council that would likely be responsible for helping form pro-crypto business regulation.
Upon taking office, I will immediately appoint a Bitcoin and crypto presidential advisory council. Would anybody like to be on that particular council? Please raise your hand. Their task will be to design transparent regulatory guidance for the benefit of the entire industry, and they will get it done in 100 days. We will have regulations, but from now on, the rules will be written by people who love your industry, not hate your industry, people that want to make it clear and simple, straightforward and fair, people that want to see your industry thrive, not dive. Next, I will immediately order the Treasury Department and other federal agencies to cease and desist all steps necessary because, you know, there's a thing going on in your industry. They want to move the creation of a central bank digital currency. It's over. Forget it.
Ooh, not the CBDC. Yeah, oh, no CBDC.
CBDC. There will never be a CBDC while I'm president of the United States. And I will always defend the right to self-custody. Self-custody. You're going to have a great industry. You're going to have a great industry, and we're going to be fuel.
I like the remarks about self-custody, of course. I think that's good. And he had them going, and then they got a little quiet when he mentioned staple coins.
As part of our effort to provide regulatory clarity, we will create a framework to enable the safe and responsible expansion of stable coins. Do you know what a stable coin is? Does anybody know? Please raise your hand.
Yeah, not much love for the stable coins there. You know, I think the thing that you have to understand is the administration is going to be pro-crypto, not pro-Bitcoin. And I'm not even sure if they fully get the nuance. I think this conference helped. His team was on the ground talking to people. That legitimately was happening. So I think they're starting to understand the nuance there. But you can tell just because they included this bit in the speech, they don't fully get it.
Responsible expansion of stable coins. Do you know what a stable coin is? Does anybody know? Please raise your hand. Allowing us to extend the dominance of the U.S. dollar to new frontiers all around the world. America will be richer, the world will be better, and there will be billions and billions of people brought into crypto economy and storing their savings in Bitcoin.
Oh, wait.
So that's the way it is.
All right.
That's pretty much the way it is.
He kind of saves it there at the end. Kind of says, you know, all right, yeah, but they're gonna use those stable coins to buy Bitcoin. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I guess. But I think the bit that people liked hearing is there was a 180 that Donald Trump did. In the past, you know, I think back in 2019 or something like that, he said that he didn't like Bitcoin. It's not money. You know, he likes the dollar. Well, here he says specifically that Bitcoin does not threaten the dollar.
Those who say that Bitcoin is a threat to the dollar have the story exactly backwards. I believe it is exactly backwards. Bitcoin is not threatening the dollar. The behavior of the current U.S. government is really threatening the dollar.
Right, which he had nothing to do with.
Our financial future does not come from crypto. It comes from Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I suppose so. And it's nice to hear him seeing this and thinking this way. He says that Bitcoiners also were right all along about inflation.
It's a country buster. The Bitcoiners, and I say to you that you recognize the dangers of inflation long before most others did. You understood inflation, frankly, better than anybody else. You know that, don't you? If only they had listened. They didn't listen to you.
Yeah, it's transitory, Mr. President. It's transitory. Trump, also another crowd pleaser, affirmed that he would release Ross.
Today, I repeat my pledge to commute the sentence of Ross Ulbricht to a sentence of time served. It's enough. It's enough.
I like the Ross getting the, you know, and it'd be good to see. Some people say when they hear that, well, then why didn't he release Ross during his first term? I don't even know if he knew. If anybody out there knows otherwise, if he'd ever made a statement about Ross Ulbricht before this, you know, before this campaign, I'd love to know if he was aware of him. But that kind of wraps up all of the mini announcements. And then he had his big policy statement, the one that everybody was expecting, the one that was absolutely breaking news. Dun, dun, dun. Donald Trump says he will create a reserve of U.S. Bitcoin.
Many Americans do not realize that the United States government is among the largest holders of Bitcoin. Does anyone know that? How about that? The federal government is almost 210,000 Bitcoin, or 1% of the total supply that will ever exist. But for too long, our government has violated the cardinal rule that every Bitcoiner knows by heart. Never sell your Bitcoin, right? That's right, isn't it, huh? That's right. How did I figure that one? Never sell your Bitcoin. And so, as the final part of my plan today, I am announcing that if I am elected, it will be the policy of my administration, United States of America, to keep 100% of all the Bitcoin the U.S. government currently holds or acquires into the future. We'll keep 100%. I hope you do well, please. This will serve, in effect, as the core of the strategic national Bitcoin stockpile. As you know,
not a bad policy. You know, not as strong as RFK's, where he's going to basically TCA for 20 years, but probably more realistic is to take that amount that they already have and just simply keep it. The other advantage that have, of course, that would remove those hangar overs from the market. People wouldn't be worried about those getting sold at some point in the future. So that's the major policy stuff. And then he wraps it up and says goodbye to everybody in kind of a classic Trump way.
With your help, we will save our nation. We will restore our republic, and we will make America and Bitcoin bigger, better, stronger, richer, freer, and greater than ever before. Thank you all. Have a good time with your Bitcoin and your crypto and everything else that you're playing with. And we're going to make that one of the greatest industries on earth. Good luck and God bless you all. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
As Trump pointed out himself, he is the first president of the United States to ever address a Bitcoin event. And it was mostly a campaign speech, as is Trump's typical fashion. But there was some good things in there, you know, acknowledging that Bitcoiners were the first to see inflation. That was a nice takeaway I had. In the speech, Trump says Bitcoin will probably overtake gold. He said he'd fire Gary Gensler. He said never sell your Bitcoin. He also said that the danger to the dollar comes from Washington, D.C. and not Bitcoin. And he says that the U.S. should create a strategic Bitcoin stockpile. I think what's noteworthy about that is regardless if he gets in, regardless if he actually does it, that cat's out of the bag now. That concept at the nation level is out. And it was right here, streamed live in front of the world to see it. And if Donald Trump does get into office and he does make good on that promise, it would likely kick off an arms race to get Bitcoin, which would really be something to see. The run-up to 2030 would really be pretty crazy. I really hope it does kick that off. I hope this is influential to other nations as well. Of course, all of our, I guess, favorite, you know what I mean? Air quotes, favorite Bitcoiners always go out and do their thing. You know, they had a live stream. Of course, it had technical problems right before Trump went on air, but otherwise it was pretty good. And whenever you have a big event like this, you got to get Mikey Saylor out there. And he had a couple of moments. He had a few moments. He had quite the talk. You might be able to find it on YouTube. So far, I just see the entire live stream sessions. But when he was on a Q&A on their live stream, he said something that I'd like to get your feedback on. Do you think that the U.S. government should hold the majority of the Bitcoin? I think he talks about it in the context of the fact that the U.S. government already holds the reserve currency of the world. And so this is a natural extension of that.
Backing the dollar with Bitcoin?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you back the dollar by doing something economically rational. So when the United States actually purchased Louisiana and we expanded the country and doubled the size of it, we backed the dollar. And when Seward bought Alaska and we found $1 trillion of oil underneath it, we backed the dollar. And when we developed the port of New York City, and we engaged in international commerce, we backed the dollar. So the country's got to look to the future, and the future of the country is in cyberspace, and Bitcoin is, in essence, cyber Manhattan. So the way you back the dollar is you buy Manhattan for pieces of paper and trinkets, and you buy it before it's worth hundreds of trillions of dollars, just like the Dutch bought New York for $50 worth of plastic beads. And so I think that it's right in front of us. The United States owns the majority of the gold in the world. The U.S. federal government owns 28% of the land, you know, in the United States. The U.S. government should own the majority of the Bitcoin in the world.
I'd like to know what you think about that. Send me in a boost. Do you think the United States should own the majority of the Bitcoin in the world? It's likely some nation state will, right? Because they can print their trinkets. They can just print their fiat money and they can buy a hard asset that's capped. And I think Mike's right in that in 100 years, we'll look back at plastics, little beads. We'll look back at cash like we look at plastic beads today, at least at some point in the future. And it's just going to take some government that looks forward a little bit and realizes we've got infinite fiat and we can buy this scarce thing. And Mike also had, Mr. Saylor, also had a pretty good speech. You know, he's given this talk now in different venues to different audiences, and he kind of has different gears, and he's refined it, and he's more bullish than ever.
But what's happening? Here's my macro Bitcoin forecast. It's 21 years. Goes out to the year 2045. What do I think will happen? Well, I've got a bear case and a bull case, but what I think will happen is that 55% ARR goes to 50%, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. It's between 50 and 20. It'll gradually decelerate till it's growing about twice as fast as the S&P index. And at that rate, Bitcoin's $13 million a coin in the year 2045. $13 million. It could be a $3 million bear case. It could be a $49 million bull case. But
so you got $3 million is his bear case. I take that as a bear. $49 million, though, is his bull.
$13 million. It could be a $3 million bear case. It could be a $49 million bull case. But what is Bitcoin? 7% of the world's assets, then. What about the rest of the assets? Well, I actually think that AIs and technology are going to revolutionize tech. We had no companies worth a trillion. Then we had a bunch of trillion-dollar companies. You're going to see more because you're going to see companies with 100,000 AIs and no employees, and they're going to do the work of companies that used to have 100,000 employees. You're going to see mega corps develop, you know, shipping robots and self-driving cars, and a company that gives a personal physician to a billion people without any doctors on the payroll. So clearly, equity is going to grow fast. Gold's going to get demonetized. Land will be less monetized. But look, here's the future in 2045. Doesn't look that revolutionary. It looks like today.
There you go. It's not that exciting. It looks like more of what we've been doing today. More bubbles, everybody. Is that what he's saying? I'd love for you to boost in and tell me what you think. And if you like this special edition, a lean, mean, focused on Bitcoin 2024 Nashville event, and why and how and which politicians were trying to get your vote. Thanks for listening to this special short edition of This Week in Bitcoin. I'll see you right back here for a full episode in episode 21. And I leave you with Politics Be Damned by Mike Epting.